It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Cardiff City World. We're here for the Birmingham City versus Cardiff City preview. Apologies for the vagueness of the time and the lateness. As I've mentioned before, my son's back from the army, so I'm trying to spend as much time as possible with him. And I wasn't expecting him to be in initially this evening, but he was. So, watched the film and had some food together and all that good stuff. But we're here to talk Cardiff City. Oh! Nearly forgot. If you haven't got your tickets for Willie Boland's City Legends event, Drew H Podcast Nation, 10th of May, the Rose and Crown in Pontypridd, highly advise you to get it. We will be announcing another one, and one for July, hopefully very soon, as early as next week. And it is a belter, absolute belter. It's really come together today. And expecting that one to go quick. As always, members of H Podcast Nation, Patreon, get 24 hours early access to those tickets. I know for the Willie Boland one, for instance, there's only a few tickets left now. And this, the July one, the City Legend event, which we're going to be announcing for July, this is live, mate, highly expect it to go. Yeah, I expect those tickets to go super, super quick. Let's get to the big business. Cardiff City travel to Birmingham tomorrow. Birmingham concede a lot of late goals, not in the best of form, which means Cardiff City will make them look like prime 1970s Brazil. That's what we do, and we're very, very good at it. So Birmingham have lost one in the Championship, one game in the last six. Cardiff City have won three, lost three in the last six. It is what it is. Birmingham are very capable on their day of playing some decent stuff. They've got some good players, etc., etc. However, so do Cardiff City on their day, have some good players. Birmingham is just almost as shambolic as Cardiff off the field in terms of how they go about their business, because they were flying at the start of the season under Rowett, doing really well, and they brought him in, an owner who maybe was a bit, let's call him exuberant, wanted the big name in Rooney. And then they just fell off a cliff after that. It was unbelievable. And not just fell off a cliff, like it wasn't even a gradual thing. They just fell off a cliff. It's one of those things. On their day, I think Birmingham are very good. We're going to have a look, as is tradition with these previews. We'll go through Birmingham, how they tend to set up, some of their dangerous danger players, and you know, how they look to play. And then we'll talk about Cardiff City. The bullet one is an interesting one, isn't it? That conversation. I've been pro bullet all season, but I've also said many times he's absolutely not not devoid of criticism. And I think some of the criticism that's been levelled at him is absolutely fair. I don't think he's helped himself at some certain points, particularly with his team selection and tactics at home. I feel like that's where he could have won the crowd and some of the doubt was over, and just being a bit more aggressive at home, I think, would have been massive. In terms of Birmingham, obviously lost their last game to Leicester to a late goal, having got back into the game. Very disappointing, but as I said a couple of times now, they're very capable, Birmingham. Got some good players. Got some players I really like as well. You know, I was banging the drum that I wanted to see Cardiff sign Jordan James at the start of the season, because under the previous manager, he just wasn't playing. And then Rooney came in and he started to began to start. We got Deion Sanderson's very good player. I quite like Bielik. You know, Bakuna on his day is a decent shout as well. I really like Jay Stansfield as well. And then they've got some experience on the bench. They're not in the best of form. They do try and play a bit of football. They tend to line up in like a 4-3-3 against Leicester. 4-2-3-1, more so. Against Leicester, they went with... Then there's a few interesting battles on this pitch, because you're going to have... Ethan Laird is a really a good fullback who plays on the right. Will be up against either Wilson Esbrand or maybe Jamalu Collins. Probably Collins, I think. But like Ethan Laird's good on the ball, good defensively, fit. You get up and down that side. They've got Park Sung-hoo, who sits alongside Bielik in the double pivot. Sanderson tends to play in the middle. Buchanan off the left. And then you've got... They tend to... Like, against Leicester, Jordan James played a bit more advanced than he does. Wilson Esbrand, you just reminded me, mate. It's a good shout. Wilson Esbrand out for the season. We don't seem to have a left-back, like an academy group left-back, or apart from Bagan, who's out on loan as well. And obviously, like, you look at the bench that Birmingham put out on Saturday against Leicester. They had Etheridge, obviously Cardiff fans very familiar. Roberts, Hogan, Cody Dreamer, and then another one who was like popular with Cardiff fans. Anderson, Dembele, Gardner, Pritchard, Sunich. Like, they have got some players in their squad, Birmingham. Like, they really have. And I'd love, like, if I was an opposing manager, I would love to play Cardiff, because I would look at them and I'd go, you know exactly how they're going to set up. You know, exactly, pretty much, you can predict the 11, they're probably down to one or two. And even if you get that one or two in the 11 wrong, it's the same way of playing, same tactics, same areas that you can get at. And when you look at the side that they put out, and Birmingham put out on Saturday against Leicester, which played pretty well, and then you look at the bench, like, I think that's way deeper than what Cardiff have put out majority of this season. And they're fighting for their lives, and Birmingham will fight for every ball. They will fight for every throw in, every tackle. And what Cardiff need to do is, I guess, really do what they've done all season, which is get through the initial 20 minutes away from home, should I say, what they've done all season. Get through the initial sort of 15, 20 minutes. Try and keep possession of the ball and quieting the crowd down. Is it what I would like to see? No. Like, I'd love to see us go get at Birmingham, because they're not going to, you know, if Birmingham concede an early goal, their confidence is down, they're fighting for their lives. You can pick them off then on the break. But I don't think Bullitt's going to change his tactics now at this late stage. Tactically, for Birmingham, as I say, they lined up on Saturday with Laird, Awu, Sanderson and Buchanan as a back four. I think if that was me, I'd probably stick with the same back four. Maybe I think I'd bring Cody Dramer in on the left or on the right, and have Laird and Dramer as the fullbacks, because I think that's an area where they could really target Cardiff. I would go with Jordan James alongside Bielik, and then I'd play probably Dembele or Sunic in the 10. But I expect them to go for similar to what they played with Leicester, just because I think they played all right. And they did make some changes quite early, a couple at the hour mark, like three at the hour mark and two at 80 minutes. Stansfield through the middle. Stansfield's a really busy striker. Press as well, like, is capable of linking up the play, but also is very, very good at running the channels and getting in behind. And I think if I was him, I would try and stick to Gutas and run him down the channels and try and isolate him one-on-one, because I feel like if he could isolate Gutas one-on-one, Gutas has got a really rash tackle in him. And Stansfield and, you know, Jordan James, Bielik, whoever, Sunic, they've all got the ability to beat a man. Bakuna on his day, absolutely, you know, can do it. It's just the consistency thing with him. But it's interesting because Birmingham, as I say, will fight for everything. Cardiff have to be up for it. They've got to do certain things. They've got to show they want it first and foremost, because if they don't have the right attitude, Birmingham will have the right attitude, which means if Cardiff's mentality is not right, Birmingham will win. Simple as that. In terms of Birmingham's man to watch, I'm going to go with, because I don't know if Cody Dramer will start, and there's a few others who may or may not start, who I quite like. I'm going to go with Jordan James. I'm a massive fan. Obviously, Welsh fans are very familiar with him. And you feel like if he could get a hold of that midfield, Cardiff will struggle, because outside of Siopis, we seem to not have the work rate and the energy to get about the pitch, and we seem to get overrun in the midfield areas. So it's very, very difficult. We will switch to Cardiff City now, but before we do, let's have a look at some of the comments. Reece says they hadn't won a single away game under Rooney, and then came to our place and made us look like Rotherham. Absolute shocking game. Yeah, Cardiff were dreadful in that game. I took my boy to that one, and it was just, we were dreadful. But it was been infuriating, mate, all season. Like, the lack of intensity and aggression at home has been really poor. And that's the one thing which frustrates me. Like, people say about the style of play and this and that, I've just been disappointed with his not having a different way of setting up at home to get the crowd on side, because I feel like that's been a missed opportunity for him. EJM says, I hope Errol stays as long as he realises that he needs to change things up. But I think Tan has already made his mind up. Yeah, I think so. I think if he was staying, we'd know. Honestly, like, why wouldn't we know? And if we wouldn't know, he would know. And if he knew, why wouldn't he be looking at youth players, at Tanner and this lot, like, ready for next season? There's no excuse for it, so it's unlikely. Reece says, Cody Dramer, he loves Cody Dramer as well. When he was with us, I hope he gets a good reception tomorrow. Away from home, Cardiff seem to be such a different team. It's as if the pressure's off and we can just play. Yeah, I think his tactics suit away from home as well. I think that's a massive part of it. And that's been the frustrating thing, is that you feel like if he just tweaked one or two things at home, he could really make a dent in the home form and get the fans on side. If he had just done that a bit more at home, been a bit more aggressive early in the games and a few tackles and better pressing. Been very the one thing, actually, which is, I found disappointing, is Cardiff's lack of press in the last month or two, probably since Christmas, has been really disappointing to see, because I thought we pressed quite well at the start of the season. And then I thought it was well drilled. there was certain trigger points and we did it well. And, you know, there's been certain games where it didn't, but generally speaking, it was pretty good. And then it's been non-existent since Christmas, been very poor. In terms of how Cardiff line up, I'd be very, very surprised if it's not the same starting 11. It's not the starting 11 that I would go for. However, I wouldn't go for the usual one I've said the last couple of games, because it is away from home, so I would set up slightly different. If it was me, I'd probably go, you know, back five, picks itself, Howarth, Angie, Phillips, Gutas, Collins. And then it's a bit much of a muchness, really. I'd probably set with Psyopis, I guess, Rawls. Wintle wasn't in the squad. Don't know if he's back. I mean, really, I think I would. I desperately want to see Psyopis and Turnbull as the two. But then who'd you play in the 10 if Joel Colwell, if Ruben Colwell's out? Could you give Ollie Tanner a go there? I mean, I wouldn't be against that. What I want to see, and I've said this numerous times in recent weeks, I wanted to see for the last couple of games is I want to see Tanner starting. I want Tanner to start every game between now and the end of the season because I want to know, and I want the coaches to know and the manager to know, is he good enough to play championship football regular? If he plays regularly, is he going to be, you know, do a bit of a Colwell and get a bit of form and a bit of confidence and become a better player? Because you don't get that opportunity to play players and test things and test younger players in the championship very often where the pressure's off. So I want to see Tanner start. I would give Ashford and I would give Joel Colwell at least 20 minutes here again. I've said this and I would, because I'd be looking towards starting them in the last two home games. I wouldn't play Josh Bowler. I wouldn't play Callum Robinson. I wouldn't play Jeju. I think you've got to play Phillips, and hopefully Phillips and Grant will be here next year in some form. Not sure if they will, but I expect the manager will play the same 11. Maybe he changes like Mate for Jeju. Maybe Ruben Colwell's back from injury, something like that. But I mean, I don't expect it to be like massively different. And as I say, I think he'll set up well and will be difficult to break down. I think what I would like to see is us to be difficult to break down, be really quick on the transition and try and win the ball back around the halfway line through Psyopis and Turnbull and Rawls or Wintle, the wingers, win the ball back and transition really quick into counterattacks, which I think we are very capable of doing. Unfortunately, the way he's set up the press since about Christmas time, they kind of all just sit in place and they don't press. They just let teams come out of defence and then we just become very, very easy to play against.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Is what it is. EJM says playing youngsters is probably the best way to go, thing to do, because they would die to get into the first team and they'll put in way more effort. And I think that's it. Look, at the end of the day, if you put Ollie Tanner on the right instead of Josh Bowler, is Ollie Tanner a better winger than Bowler? Well, I don't know. Maybe not on pure ability. But I tell you one thing, Ollie Tanner will go up and down and up and down and up and down that right wing because he's got a point to prove. He wants to be in the starting 11 at the end, at the start of next season. He's got a point to prove. Give him a few starts, tell him his job and do it. Beat your man, put the ball in the box. Not difficult. Same, you know, Grant, I think it's been pretty good. I don't know what the score is with O'Dowda. I'd like to see Kean Ashford get off the bench. I'd like I think if you're going to start the youngsters, I think it should be at home. So like Kean Ashford, Joel Colwell, I believe that they should get their first starts at home. But I think you could give them 15 minutes towards the end of an away game just to get used to it. Reece says, would be playing the youngsters at home be better though? Less of a hostile atmosphere. I just cannot believe yet again the club are being run as an absolute joke and no clue who the manager will be. Yeah, mate, well, it's the lack of structure above. The managers, like, you've got the manager and the coaches, and then you've got the board and the owner. There's nobody between the manager and the owner. There's nobody in between who's got any sort of, like, a football person other than the scouts, the analysts and people like this. But, like, so here's the thing. I said this the other day. Is if we were a properly run football club, right, we know that Bullitt's contract is out of, like, he's out of contract on said date, yeah? Whatever that date is. So Cardiff City is a football club. They know either they're going to renew his contract and he's staying, so they should have a list of players, blah, 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 and be ready to hit the ground running in the summer. And he should be planning for next season, which I would argue you by his team selection, he probably isn't. And if they know they're not going to offer him a contract, they should have a shortlist of 3 to 5 managers who they've spoken to people who've worked with him, sounded him out through their agents, sort of through back channels. They should have a full profile of what sort of football they play, who do they like to work with, what sort of budget would they require, what would they do with certain players who are already at the club, how many players would they want to move on. So they should have, the day that Bullitt's contract runs out, if they're not going to offer him a contract, they should be able to contact those 5 managers on that shortlist and go, right, can you come in for an interview? Tell us what you do with what we've got. Tell us what you'd sell your project to us, or tell us what you would do with this project. But what they will do, that's what they should do, and that's what they should have, because any sensible football club would have that ready to go. Just like they should have a list of players that would they want to get if Bullitt stays, a list of players that the club would like to get. And then obviously you've got the opportunity to bring in other managers. But what Cardiff will do is they'll wait till the day he does or doesn't sign, and then they'll go, right, what manager should we get then? There's no plan, there's no organization, and there's no structure. And the structure above the manager, until that is in place, we will keep going through the same shit over and over and over again. And I'm sorry, I know that's depressing, I know that sounds negative, but I'm just being realistic. And what frustrates me massively, right? So Reece, you said something earlier on about Cody Drayman, say, right? Like, how many times this season, mate, have I sat here and done these previews, pointed out certain ways, certain players from the other team who could cause us a problem. And then on the Saturday or the Wednesday or whatever, the games happened, the exact players that we've talked about go and score and get a couple of assists or whatever in the exact way we've discussed. And Cardiff have done nothing to address it, try and stop it, change it, whatever. And it's like, if I can see it and analyse the games and the teams and the opponents, and point out where we're going to have trouble, where we could get at them, where we're going to have trouble, etc. And why can't a professional football club, if I can see or say, right, if Bullitt goes, we should have already had the shortlist written up. It should already be done. Like, if I'm saying that, why in the fuck is a massive club like Cardiff City not doing that? Tell me, I don't understand it. And I know people like to blame Mehmet Dalman, but ultimately, like, I think if he was just on the business side of things, I think he'd be very good for the club. Unfortunately, he's not. He's part of the transfer committee. But ultimately, it's not his decision. From what I gather, like, he wants to keep Bullitt. The owner doesn't. The owner's the one who makes decisions. See rebrand. See numerous managers being sacked for Does anyone know why Morrison got sacked yet? I don't think we do, do we? It's Williams 98123 says, never seen us win at Millwall. Guaranteed draw, I think. We should be beating Birmingham, so we'll probably lose that. Unfortunately, until time goes, nothing's changed. Spot on, mate. And do you know, I said at the start of the show, mate, right? We played Sunderland. They had won in like, they had won, taken 1-2 points in the last 20 or something. I don't know, something stupid. Made them look like 70s Brazil. Played Hull the other day. They had won in 7. Made them look like prime Maradona, Napoli. And then, you know, then you've got Birmingham have won 1 in the last 5-6. And we'll make them look like the 1999 travel winning side. Like, it's embarrassing. We just let them play. Reese says, Bullet says, after games, I'm happy with the lack of pressing and stuff. So it's not hard to gauge whether or not the players just aren't capable of doing the job. And now, mate, I'm sorry, that doesn't wash with me. Because saying, let's use the Swansea game as an example, right? We didn't press at all. So say, or whatever game, say we're not pressing, right? Say the trigger point for the press is Mate. Well, no, say it's Colwell, because a lot of teams use the number 10 as the trigger point, right? So say Colwell is the trigger point. How many times this season have you seen Colwell go to press on his own and they all just stand around? Bowler, whoever, like I would use Grant less in it, but like Mate, like they'll all just sort of stand off in their positions. So that's tactical, mate, right? Because if he doesn't like it in the game, he gets a message on the pitch and says, when Ruben goes and he presses, you go. And if you don't go, you've got to go together, et cetera, et cetera. And then if they don't do it after he sent the instruction on, you send a note on. And if they still don't do it, you fucking take them off because they're not listening to the manager's tactical instructions. So it's not. It's a tactical change that's happened since Christmas, where we have just, instead of pressing, we stay compact, but we stay in our positions too deep, and we just let teams walk past the halfway line, and then we only press around our own box. I'm sorry, mate, that doesn't wash with me at all, that is him, he's saying, because he's effectively saying, oh, the players are not doing it, but I'm telling them to do it. No, what do they work on all week? Outrageous. So then this is where I've lost a bit of sympathy for him. I find a lot of his interviews, I think he's quite charismatic, and I find him quite an enthralling character. But unfortunately, I also have, there's been a few things he said where I'm like, nah, not so sure about that. It's strange one. EJM says, it'd be a shame to lose Errol and the coaching staff because of what does that mean for players like Siopas and Gutas. So Siopas, I'd be gutted if we lose him. 100% be really gutted. Gutas, I'm not 100% sold on. I thought he started really ropey. I thought then the manager switched him and McGuinness, and I thought that worked wonders, and he was really good. The last month or so, I think he's been... Gutas has been a bit ropey, a bit rash, caught out of position a bit, got turned over, conceded some silly fouls. I think he is probably good enough. And I think overall he's probably improved the squad. But I'm on the fence with Gutas, I've got to say. EJM also says, I feel embarrassed at times for them that they have to play for Cardiff. I hate to say it, but sometimes the performances are shocking. Yeah, they've been very poor this year, mate. We have been really poor. And if I'm the Birmingham manager, right, I'm setting up in a 4-3... let me bring their side back up, right? If I'm Birmingham, I'm setting up in a 4-2-3-1. I'm putting Jordan James and either Bielek or Park Seung-hoo as the two at the base, making them solid and dictate the play, being aggressive. I'm getting Laird and Dramer out to fullbacks, pushing them right in. And I'd get Laird to invert. I'd have Dramer being more of a traditional overlap. And then I'd have whoever, like you've got Sunich, you've got Dembele. You could just drop into the holes, find the pockets of space. Stanfield's running the channel and then create width and just rip Cardiff to pieces. Because what we do, right, is with Cardiff, you attack Perry and G side, get a cross in, and then the left back completely switches off. The ball comes to the back post. They either score there or they'll just pull it back and score from the edge of the box every fucking time. Simple, simple football. And Birmingham have got the players to cause Cardiff some issues tomorrow. Just the system and the way they play is the sort of team that we struggle against. And I think that that's where we're going to have a problem. It's Williams 98123 says their worst performances last season, though. We don't have the money to push for promotion after one season. And where we've had a transfer ban and FFP on our case, give bullet time to build a squad. So I 100% agree with you. Like, we're not ready for promotion. We shouldn't have even been discussing promotion. That was almost a bit embarrassing in itself. Like I said at the start of the season, the aim should be top 10, top 11, top 12. That's a good season after the last few seasons. And then build on that next year. The board have to back him. I agree with everything you say. It takes time to do a rebuild, to get players out and in. And I think the players out are as important as the players in. There's a few bad eggs in that squad. And they need to be moved out quickly in order to move it forward. I think where he's done damage to his reputation with the fans and in terms of the manager staying or going, where I think he's done damage is the home performances. He could have set us up to be a bit more aggressive at home. I think he's made Reuben Colwell be a bit of a scapegoat almost in some, not like fully like, you know, like hung him out to dry or anything like that. But he's always seems to be the one who's dropped or rotated or sort of taken off, whilst other players who haven't been performing have got a bad attitude, don't work, like your bowlers of the world. Like, he's kept playing them, kept starting them, and that could be frustrating for fans because, you know, everyone loves a home-time guy. And I think overall, Colwell's had a decent season. Don't think it's been amazing, but I think it's been decent. I think Siopis been decent. Had a bit of a mixed spell in the middle. Turnbull's got to turn up now as well. Like, I saw what he did with Celtic. Seen little glimpses, but he hasn't really shown up yet. I'd like to see him turn up. I think Perry NG has gone off the boil this last month or so. But prior to that, I think I've said before, I think he's the best right back in the championship. And there was a point coming into Christmas, I was really concerned that Perry NG and Mark McGuinness were both going to get sold in the summer because they've got the perfect age profile, skill set, attributes to go to a lower Premier League side. Good defensively, good positionally, good on the ball, young, fast, fit. In McGuinness's case, the injuries probably knocked that back a bit. Perry NG's lost a bit of form now, so don't know. For Cardiff, though, just going back to the game, my one to watch, I'm going to go with Turnbull because I do think there's a player in there. I don't think he's playing in the right position at the moment. I'd like to see him. It's one of them things. Reece, I'll address that now, mate. Just give me a sec. But Turnbull, I would like to see play a bit deeper. I think he can do some damage and be a real player for us. But either way, wherever he plays, he needs to turn up a little bit. So Reece says, I've said it a few times, Colwell's stats are dire. One goal, no assist this season. I believe that's shocking when you consider NG is more in both departments. So what I would say with Ruben is, how many times has he had to alter what he's doing because he's got no movement off the ball, no movement, no one to pass to, no one to link up with or play off, no one running in behind. He's had to come deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper to get a ball because there's no one in midfield to pass him the ball. So like, whilst I understand on paper, you know, he doesn't look anything impressive or special, I would still argue that him and Grant have been our greatest attacking threats in terms of looking like they're going to create anything. But I accept, you know, I just think he's improved this year. And I think he can continue to improve if we can get a good midfielder behind him to progress the ball to him. Last couple of comments then, guys, before I wrap up. Home performances have to improve. I wouldn't want to play at the Cardiff City Stadium right now, though. One mistake and the fans are moaning. Even if we start well, the players need to perform, and they need to more from both.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So the other thing, right, so what I would say to that, mate, is with the home, is I agree with you, like the fans are fed up now and it's this the style of play and this, that and the other. But what I would say is if you look at, I said this on the phone in on Monday, if you look at the Old Firm derby on the weekend, you look at the United-Liverpool game on the weekend, when the crowd started to go quiet for either any of the sides, like what got them up, what got them behind their teams in the early minutes, wasn't necessarily goals or chances. It was pressing and tackles. And I could really, really just think, like, if you put something in, I think you get something out of the crowd with aggression and passion and work rate early in the game. Like, throw yourself about a bit, go win the ball. I just think it could have... that you sometimes we don't help ourselves, but the manager's got to set them up in a way. EJM says, would you rather assign more young and local players for the season ahead or more foreign talents in the hopes of finding hidden gems? If Birmingham City go down, I would move heaven and earth to try and get Jordan James. Apart from that, not really fussed on, like, what I would like, the ideal world for me is to find, I want to sign players permanently where possible, promote from within where possible if they're good enough, and then pick up a couple of young Premier League players who can't, young Premier League players who are not going to play first team football and need to play first team football, but they're not going to play first team football in the Premier League. For instance, just an example, I was speaking to Rodri the other day. Like, United's under 18s have 100% record this year. They beat Liverpool's under 18s, I think 9-0 or something on the weekend. They've got a team full of like 18, 19 year olds who are absolutely look like the cream of the crop. Some of them will be in the first team next year. There's a 16, 17-year-old left-back who's quality. I would expect him to be in the first team. Gabriel Bianchi, get him back on loan. Get Isaac Davis back from his loan. Like, but what I'm saying, not necessarily about the United squad under-18s, but like just generally, I would like to see a mix of... I would like, if we're going to get loan players, I want to get loan players who were young, and the only reason we're getting them on loan is because they're not quite ready to play first team football in the Premier League. What I don't want to see is almost like loan journeymen, like Bowler and even Grant to a lesser extent, where they just shipped out on loan each year because their parent club can't really afford their wages. So they just want them off the books. They're not particularly consistent. And I don't think it helps. Like, I what has Bowler... I just don't understand what he's brought to the squad this year that Ollie Tanner wouldn't have brought. I really don't. Grant, I think, is slightly different. I think Grant, even though he probably should have scored more goals, I think he's been one of our more our better attacking outlet, and he gave Jamaal Collins, when he was finding his feet after injury, Carlin Grant gave him a lot of help, worked hard for the team. I'd like to see O'Dowd off the left and Grant through the middle, I would, but yeah, that's just me. But we got to get rid of some of the players who are causing morale issues as well, so, and the big wages. So, that's my answer to that, really. But ultimately, it'll come down to financial fair play, which is why we need to get some players out. And I think the homegrown players in the squad, this is what worries me. What worries me with Isaac Davis, actually, is there's some big clubs after him now. I read somewhere the other day that I think it was Anderlecht, or like one Belgian club is looking at him. If Cardiff get offered like a couple of million for Isaac Davis, I think they sell him. Perry NG, he wouldn't count as a homegrown, I don't think. McGuinness would, maybe. I'm not sure. I can't remember the rulings and stuff like that. But Monaco, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they offer big money for Isaac Davis, as much as I'd like to see Isaac playing for Cardiff next season, if Monaco come in with big money, it's a no-brainer for the player and it's a no-brainer for the club, because it's 100% into FFP. He can go and get paid a fortune tax-free at a big, Champions League club sometimes. So it's tricky. It's tricky. So, guys, I'll be back tomorrow after the game for like just a reaction. Thursday, then, we'll have the Flower Hour with Matt and Rob. Friday, we'll have a preview of the Millwall game. Saturday, we'll have the Flower Hour. Sunday, we'll have Five Things. Monday, we'll have the Terry Phillips' History of Cardiff City, as well as the Cardiff City phone-in. I've got a couple of interviews coming up as well. I got one with Roger Gibbons to come out. I'm also hoping to get Paul Abbandattato. I apologize, I can't pronounce his surname yet, but I'm going to have to learn that before I do the interview. Got a couple of interviews coming up with him, hopefully, which is going to be good. Got some good stuff coming up, but as I said at the start of the show, there's a few tickets left for the Willie Boland City Legends Night in Pontypridd, and we should be announcing another one soon, which is going to be a belter. It's going to be a belter. Gonna be a belter. Appreciate you all. Thank you very much. I send a Tete out on loan next year in League One to somewhere where he's gonna play, and tell him to toughen up a bit, because I do think there might be a player there, technically, ability wise, but physically, mentally, he has to sort himself out. Appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for watching. Please make sure you like, please share the video and all that, like subscribe to the channel. Like it's a new thing, Cardiff City World. It's Cardiff City content 7 days a week. But you are right, it's Williams, same shit, same old, until the owner is changed. Probably won't change, but maybe not. Because I don't, you can't always say that, because I think the grass isn't always greener. Grass isn't always green. However, what they do need to do is get a football structure above the manager. Then I think things can change. I'll be back tomorrow after the game. Nice one.
Sports Social Podcast Network.